We have returned back to our joint meeting sessions, and we are here now with the Library Advisory Board. And I'm going to turn the presentation over to them. Please take this opportunity to introduce yourself and then proceed with your presentation.
I'm Dave Bristow from the Library Board.
Laura Arnhold, Library Director.
Fawzia Shamim, Library Board.
Beth Davis, Library Board.
Jeanette Heil, Vice Chair.
Sharon Doris, Chair.
Dave Newman, Library Board.
And just to let everyone know, we are missing one of our board members tonight. She couldn't make it, and she was very upset that she wouldn't be here. She was going to try to, and we convinced her that her granddaughter's birthday was a little more important.
18.
All right. Thank you all for giving us this time to talk about the library and what we've been doing over the past year. I'm going to turn it over to the Library Board to present, and if you have any questions, you're welcome to ask throughout. If not, we have probably a couple minutes at the end to do so as well.
Yeah. Tonight we've got a lot to talk about, so we're going to try to make it super quick. We'll review some brief stats from 2025 and then talk about our visit to the new Upper Dublin Public Library. And finally, we discuss what a new space could do for our community. Okay, this is for you guys. I asked the librarian if she knew who wrote the dinosaur novels. Can you make a guess?
I'm going to guess it's a bad joke.
No.
No, it's a great joke.
It's a good joke.
It's one you would use.
Ready?
Ready? She said Triceratops.
I like it both. I'm tickled.
It's subjective.
All comedy is.
Okay. Here are some of the 2025 review and highlights. Library circulation, both physical and digital items, continues to rise year over year. While digital checkouts continue to rise, they account for less than a quarter of the checkouts of material, which means that over 75% of materials being checked out are by the people using the physical library. You can also see on this slide that we borrow from other libraries in McLink, but we also send a lot of our materials to these libraries, as well as our reciprocal interlibrary loan system.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the flip of the slide. So programming stats. So beyond books, right, the growth of book circulation and the growth of books and that the library makes available, the library also does a lot of programming. So over 750 programs were held last year. If you think about that, it's like roughly two per day, although it doesn't work out to that being actual, but 750 programs. I mean, I couldn't think of doing 750 things, organizing 750, right? The library staff does a huge amount of effort to keep the programs available for our township citizens. So the township looks, the citizens look for those opportunities in the programming, and the staff does a great job of that. Those 750 programs brought in roughly 40,000 participants, which is, again, amazing, thinking of the township base. There's a lot of focus going on this year around hosting more programs for our teenagers. If you remember when we presented last time, we had talked about when kids get to a certain age, they don't go to the library as much, and then basically when they're out of college, that crowd dies down, but then it starts picking up in later years. So it's great to try to keep the teens involved in programs at the library, and hopefully we'll have good things to talk about next year about that. And then also there's, just wanted to mention, there's a lot of activity in the passive programs. So passive programs are things that are held within the library. So for example, seek and finds, puzzles, things like craft grab and goes, where people can come in, get a kit, take it home and work on it with their children. So yeah, programming is a benefit to the township that is given by the library board, so.
Here we go. You'll see here are a few additional statistics from 2025, including visitors, hours open, card holders, and volunteer hours. iLibrary has a number of volunteer opportunities for students, and you can see that our library does an amazing job. We had 533 volunteer hours by mainly high school and middle school students, which is amazing to get those students to the library. Our Wi-Fi usage continues to rise year over year as more and more people use the library to log into personal devices. We also provide additional resources that may not be at the top of the mind when thinking about the library, like passport applications, notary stamps, study rooms, and access to the internet.
We continue to strive towards providing convenience for the community. We offer self-checkout machines that kids love to use. I have three young kids. That's the highlight of going to the library is checking out their own books. We also have a drive-up return out on the front of the building that makes it easy to drop off material even if the library is closed or in bad weather so you don't have to get out of your car. I have another joke for you. I saw a book titled How to Solve Half Your Problems. So I checked out too.
It tickles me.
You guys are not fancy. They overwhelmed
the jokes.
Did you like that one, Greg?
I was just thinking one half times two is actually a quarter.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
A half of a half is a quarter.
I'm pretty sure that one half time. No, it actually is one.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. A half time to half is a quarter. Actually.
I was good in math, too.
Math is definitely not my forte. But office building conversion is.
Great transition.
All right, so you can go on to the next slide. Last year, in March of 2025, we went on a field trip. And we went to the Upper Dublin Public Library. So this was a really interesting tour that was really a really great experience. We all got to go see this library that was converted from an old office building. So this library is 58,000 square feet. It's in a business park. But you really wouldn't know that it is. It basically replaced their outdated space, kind of similar to what we have today, into this amazing library. It is, and they're currently actually working on renovations to introduce additional space for community meeting rooms beginning this year. So this library, cost about $15 million for them to renovate the existing office space. They noted that the quotes they had received to build a new library were approximately $30 million. So they said it was feasible for them to do this because of the office building conversion.
Okay, as you can tell from the library comparisons, the essential ones that I think are actually the top ones, where you look at the numbers, the population, versus the space that's available when you compare Upper Dublin and Upper Merion. Now, if you drop down to the bottom, one up from the bottom, dedicated millage in Upper Merion is 0.59. Whereas in Upper Dublin, which has a larger space, but smaller population, it's 0.72. And if you look at the library square footage, you can see the differences, which are highly significant. And this brings up the question of what will a new library require within Upper Merion?
All right, so some of the highlights of this library that had us very excited included a drive up for holds and returns. It had a very large auditorium where they actually held like their community meetings in that auditorium. They had these RFID tags that we'll talk about later. That was very fun to see. And they had tons and tons of little like side rooms and all kinds of spaces for if you just wanted to have a little study group or you wanted to have a little community gathering. I think they even had a room that was like people were playing D&D in there. Like, it's just a great space. with pretty much everything that you could imagine in this library. It's incredible. Oh, and another joke, but this is a cartoon, so. It's under construction, but it's very hush hush.
So we from the library visit, we wanted to, just share some of the learnings we got out of that, and they could be opportunities for our library. So we're going to step through generally around space needs and programming space, being more convenient, and then the RFID technology that we just highlighted. So, okay, is that me or not me?
Not you.
Okay.
Yes, so one of the biggest opportunities for the library is just having space to provide programming. You can see the number of programs in the library versus in the township building, as well as outside of those locations. We have one dedicated space in the library, which is the little theater, but as you'll see, it has tiered seating, so it is only able to be used for specific types of programs. Recently, we created a new pop-up space in the library, so you'll see the folding tables and chairs there. It's in the children's department. It's not necessarily ideal because it's right in the middle of the floor, and it tends to be loud with all the excited kids, but it is another option. And as you saw on the pie chart, more than half of our programs are in the township building, but not in the library. So our door count statistics do not necessarily capture all of the people attending programs because they may go directly to the room and not in and out of the library.
So again, like we talk about space needs a lot over the past couple years. We only have two study rooms, and you know the library is more than books. It's a place for meeting. A lot of tutoring happens in some of those rooms, or that's desired. But having two study rooms, it's just desperately we need more space. For those types of activities. We talked about the 900, roughly 900 passports that were done, and the notary appointments. They're usually done around in the library where there's open space. It's not very private. It's sort of open. Obviously, we do the best. The group does the best they can with that. But having some space for that would be ideal as well. We talked about dedicated programming spaces, so that we don't have to compete with other spaces within the township building itself. And then, as always, like our library, the collection grows over time, and there's a weeding activity that, happens to get the old outdated books out, to keep the shelves sort of, open a little bit more. Other libraries provide patrons with the ability to check out different things, such as like museum passes. Well, we do museum passes and hotspots, but other libraries, have board games and lawn games and things like that. We just don't have the space to offer those. But we know they're desired because they occur at other libraries as well. So, yeah, we need more space.
In addition to what Dave just spoke about, more convenience to the public would be adding hold lockers for patrons to access their holds when the library is closed. This would be helpful for busy parents, commuters who work longer hours, or community members who aren't available during typical library hours. For those community members who work 9 to 5, they really lose out on Thursday and Friday just because of the time that the library is open. Hold lockers could be indoors for us since our lobby here is open 24/7. And while the drive-up return that I spoke about previously is extremely helpful, a through-wall return is safer for our staff. It protects the materials from the elements. And because they're coming right into the building versus a freestanding location. Currently, our outdoor box is emptied twice a day. Staff goes out in all kinds of weather, as well as in the light, but also the dark in the winter when it gets dark earlier. And if there's a lot of rain, sometimes there's a big puddle right underneath, so they have to be especially helpful or careful that the materials do not go into the puddle.
It's happened more than once, usually by me.
One of the points that they've mentioned, RFID tagging, is a route where you can basically take your stack of books and check them out one time. Now, if you think about the space shown there with the two young ladies, that basically could remove or release space along the current in and out system that the library assistants are using, because you're really looking at something that is no more than 2 feet by 2 feet by 4. And you simply stack your books there, RFID tags are read, and that's it. So you take the books and you're gone. Does it remove the responsibility for the library? No, because you've actually got a better record than anybody asking for your library card or anything similar.
You can't find it. You can actually use that to help find it.
You can see what I just addressed, but in writing there.
Why did the cardiologist recommend his patients go to the library?
You can get this one.
Carol knows.
Come on.
He heard they're good for circulation.
There you go.
That's my least favorite one.
There's some GKO architect updates. GKO Architects is a company that the township is currently working with to create a program plan for the library, police department, and administration offices. The goal is to have them present a variety of options for a new or renovated spaces that will allow the board to make a decision that best suits everyone's needs.
And as you can see, if you take what has just been discussed, it's now in writing, and you get an idea of the amount of time that people have devoted to get to this stage. So it's the space needs and particularly including programming spaces that are related to a modern library and space.
GKO is currently meeting with members of the police department as well as administration team to better understand their needs for the future. Once this information has been pulled together, they will bring their suggestions to the Board of Supervisors. We cannot stress enough the need for additional space for the library to better provide for our community. Thank you.
All right, and as tradition for the past few years, we've got a quote, and I think this one works really well for this year, so here we go. The library card is a passport to wonders and miracles, glimpses into other lives, religions, experiences, the hopes and dreams and strivings of all human beings. And it is this passport that opens our eyes and hearts to the world beyond our front doors. That is one of our best hopes against tyranny, xenophobia, hopelessness, despair, anarchy, and ignorance. And that is by Libba Bray, who is a young adult and adult author. And if you guys have any questions or comments, we would be happy to answer them.
First of all, that was a wonderful quote. Wonderful quote.
That's a good one this year.
And, I'll have Carol open up if you'd like, since you're the liaison to the board.
Open for questions, but I think you see the thrust of this presentation was different from what they presented last year. We need space. We need more space. And we know that it's connected with the needs of the township building and the police department. So it's just one more nudge, if you will, to us to continue to talk about what our plans are for the future with this building or with some other way of expanding the physical presence of the library and how to be able to move forward with all the programs and all that they've been doing and to support the needs of the library. Just as an aside, total aside, I was in New York City yesterday. There was a server that we talked to who was from California. And we got to talking and telling him where we were from. And we said, do you know Valley Forge Park? And he looked at us, no. Did you hear of George Washington in Valley Forge? No. Well, George Washington, yeah, but not Valley Forge. What about the King of Prussia Mall? Well, that he thought he had heard about. And after we had this conversation, the four of us that were there, we were going, how do you go through high school? He has a college degree. He came to New York for a graduate degree. He doesn't know about Valley Forge. And just to bring this back to a library, it was blowing our minds, basically, that such an important, you know about the American Revolution, right? And George Washington. I mean, we were just stunned. And I'm a teacher, the other people there, two of them were teachers, and we want to encourage our students to have a good place to go, and it just brought forward to me that the library is a place where you can learn so much about anything, and we need to have a place that is now going to be up to date as well. So much has changed since I was a kid, and when I was about 10, volunteering in my local children's library, and that was like dinosaur days, you know. Today, everything that's here, it's gone
to your fingertips.
We have so much more to offer, and so much that I think our residents should expect from us as well. So put in a plug for a larger library within my lifetime, hopefully. within our time, maybe on the board. So.
Well, there's certainly been a revisioning of what a library actually
exactly.
is. That growing up and what they were, you just went for a book and you left, and it wasn't a gathering space. It wasn't programming, or maybe very limited, maybe children's programs a little bit, reading groups or whatever. But libraries have expanded well beyond that, and to the success of Upper Marion Township specifically, your numbers say it all. Mm-hmm. That you're not stagnant, you're not decreasing, you are growing. Yeah. And that just tells you what the community is wanting and needing and desiring, and we have to sort of meet that call. That if it weren't for your growth, there wouldn't be a necessity to have these conversations about increasing space for you, and understanding that for you.
I mean, public libraries now are considered third spaces, that space that's not your home and you're not your work that you can go and use. And I don't think people realize that there are very few of those locations available that don't require you to spend money to do so. And I think they're very valuable. I was actually out on the children's floor today, and I overheard one of the story time moms talking, and she goes, this is where I've met a lot of my mom friends at story time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And being a new mom can be very isolating for a lot of people, and being able to come to story time and meet other people going through that experience at the same time is invaluable for a lot of people. And that's just one tiny bit of what the library can offer.
When I first moved here, the library was on Town Center Road, which is now, you know, Tantra and a couple of other places. That was the entire library. The children's library was downstairs on the lower level, and the rest of the library was on the second floor. And when I go in there now, sometimes for something, it's hard to remember that our library was small. So where you are now was a huge improvement. Mm-hmm. I forget what year.
1989.
Mm-hmm. So that was a big help.
I mean, outside of the park, I'm not sure what Park and Rec numbers are, but think of all the, or we mentioned 40,000 people come to the programs, right? That's a huge, like a civic thing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you know, we say library, but it's the word library should be very broad, and we should be thinking of it as a civic kind of duty, responsibility, and offering, and it's not that expensive, I mean, in the grand scheme of everything, right? Like,
one set it will serve for years, you know. So much communities can benefit. Safe haven for community.
Your comments on Upper Dublin were very interesting. And we, several years ago, looked at two office buildings and the opportunity to move the library and some other offices to those. What I'd be interested in is Upper Dublin's experience in actually having the library in the business park, as opposed to having it at the municipal building for two reasons. Number one, there's a lot of buildings that can be available in the business park. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be a lot cheaper to build or modify, I should say, than to build a new structure. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that's an opportunity. The other thing that we talked about back then was that there was a belief that more people walked to the library than drove to the library. I'm in here 3-4 times a week, and I see a lot of cars come in and come mm-hmm. to the library. So I don't know if, you know, in the big picture, once we look at space needs, what are our options going to mm-hmm. be? And is it viable in Upper Marion to use a building that's in some other space?
I will say Upper Dublin did receive a lot of pushback for moving into the business park at the time when they were building. But for them, I believe they had said it was more centrally located for their township to be in the business park than where they were. The police moved in shortly after they moved in, after the tornado that ripped through Upper Dublin.
The same building?
They moved into the extra space that the library hadn't filled in yet. And since 2020, the library realized how much more space they needed to take back over. So when the police were able to move out this past year, they're now taking that space and renovating it into more community space because of the need.
Let me piggyback a little bit on what Bill said, and I had some of the same notes. I am a fan of the idea of conversion, obviously. We don't know how feasible it is. I'm very much looking forward to to seeing the space study when it comes back, because it affects obviously the library, the administration, the police, and there will be decisions that will have to be made in the next 3 or 5 or 7 years, and I don't know, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when, because this building, I think much of it, or at least parts of it, are now coming close to 60 years old. It's you know, it's outlived its usefulness, even with the additions/renovations that occurred along the way, including the major one in the late 80s. I would also like to hear from Lower Providence, because I believe they are actually building their new township building and a renovated building in their office park. Mm-hmm. If you know where Forward Pickleball is, and Baldbird, it's going right there. So we'll have the opportunity to hear from them.
They're leaving their library where it is, though.
Okay.
And the library is renovating its space.
You know, but as you know, one of the possibilities for the future is also, and we don't know what's going to happen, are actually two separate structures, some type of renovation here and maybe something elsewhere. Who knows? We don't know the answer to any of it. So I would certainly like to hear about their experience. We do have experience in Upper Marion taking an old building and renovating it. And yes, there was some heartache and headaches along the way. But at the end of the day, when you take a look at the fact that we spent, I think it was either 14 or 16 all in, and what we got for it has been, and the senior service center has been amazing, and what that thing would cost now if we had to, you know, start from scratch. Like I said, I don't know if any of this is the answer in the future, but we're going to get the space study back, and we're going to find out. Two more things, and I'll be quick. Despite my earlier brain fart, I actually am really good at math. One thing I'm actually not particularly good at, and never thought I was particularly good at, was languages. And I cannot thank the library enough for the Mango Languages offering, because I was able to go on Mango Languages, and even though it was just like basic Hebrew, to be able to go there and see that I could learn this and give me the confidence that I could, you know, actually go on to some field that the money that I would spend on an actual full Hebrew online system would be worth it. It gave me the confidence to do that. And to me, I will be extremely grateful as a resident of this township, more so than as a supervisor of the township, that the library offers that service. And the last thing, and it didn't come up during the presentation, but it was sort of danced around, is that one thing that I know concerns a lot of people in our community and elsewhere in the county, the Commonwealth, the country, is the issue of affordability. And library services are free, people, for the most part. I mean, pretty much everything.
Supported by your tax dollars.
Yeah, supported by your tax dollars. But you know, it's a place where people from all economic walks of life can go and be able to use the various programs that are being offered and be able to walk out of the library, you know, with the exact same amount that's in their wallet or purse that they walk into with. And places like that are increasingly valuable and rare, so.
Your year in review sheet on the back of it will actually tell you how much the community has saved just by checking out materials. I didn't even calculate programming costs in that. But just in that packet that I gave you has one of the sheets in it. Thank you all for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, and we will recess for a few moments and come back with our final presentation for this evening.